Happy Good Friday, Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show, True Straight Up. It's going to be a great program. We've got our Minority Report coming up, and we'll talk about my electoral triumph at CD7.
At CD7. I want to let you know the show sponsored by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice, one of the websites I check every day. They've got some really interesting stories up today. One of them that I really liked, they were talking about how, you know, the newspapers, everybody jumped up and down and hollered when Patrick Neville and other people went ahead and wrote the governor saying, hey, feel free to ask us for any advice or get our thoughts on, you know, shutting down the economy. But when the Democrats do the same thing, they're praised to high heaven. So what a joke. But you get all of the straight information, true straight up, just like at this show at ColoradoCitizenPress.com.
It's a must go to site if you're a conservative in Colorado.
So let's jump right in with Patrick because he only has about 10 minutes today. Patrick, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So let me, because again, you only have a few minutes.
Well, I want to tell Patrick about my electoral triumph.
Keep it brief, Chuck. You only have 10 minutes. 10,
that's all we need. All I need is 10.
All we need. We'll talk about Chuck a little bit here first, Patrick.
So I decided to go for a delegate to the national convention, in part because Julie's brother has a townhouse right next to the hall, so we could stay for free and party for free. And so I went up, and surprise, surprise, I was first alternate, which means I get all the credentials, I have to do any work. So this is so great. I couldn't have gotten a better
position. Well, cool. If
you've
got a place for me to stay too, let me know, Chuck.
Hey, it's a huge place. It takes up an entire city block. Her brother owns most of Charlotte. So,
and it's a lot of fun, so it'll be party central. Let me ask you, you know, a lot of talk today, the JBC folks are saying that even though who knows when the legislature is going to reconvene, but they're going to have to start making some massive cuts. What's been going on this week? What do you want folks to know about?
Well, the biggest thing is, so we had executive committee, we started kind of talking about that timeline. It looks like the legislature is not going to go back into session until mid to late May, basically, because then we actually get the April numbers in. We can do a new forecast. The latest forecast we had actually showed us $1 billion less than what we expected at the start of the year. But OSPB is actually showing that might be even $3 billion. So it might get really interesting. And so we're trying to work with the federal delegation. Part of the problem is you know, we have $2.2 billion coming in stimulus money, right, from the federal government, which is still your money. More accurately, it's my children's money because we have such a large national debt. So my kids' money is coming to us as a state, and how do we spend that? And so there's a lot of folks out there that say, well, we need to just backfill the budget. The problem is Chuck Schumer put in a last-minute amendment that basically said any county – or any local government that's 500,000 people or more can go ahead and apply for this money first. So that basically gives essentially Denver, Arapahoe, Adams, Boulder, and Jefferson the ability to, you know, apply for that money first. And then after that, the state actually wants to pick up, you know, their tab and basically backfill their budget. What I'm saying is, no, we shouldn't be backfilling the budget with that federal stimulus money whatsoever. We should be using that money to actually send it to businesses. They were forced to be shut down by the governor and his policies, and they were forced to be shut down by local governments and their policies. Businesses like movie theaters, restaurants, you name it, like we should actually be using that money for them. And then guess what? The state government should actually tighten up their belt and look at different programs and use this as an opportunity to be more efficient as a state government, because governments never get the opportunity to do that. Businesses always do. Every time there's a recession, businesses go in there and they figure out different efficiencies and move forward. And we should be doing the same thing as state government, not just saying, oh, well, let's use my kids' money to backfill this year's budget. That's not going to work.
Right.
Well, the $3 billion forecast is going to be wrong again.
Right.
Because Polis is not going to open up the economy until it's half dead, and then he'll kick it and think it's going to revive. But do Republicans have any parts of the budget that they really want to spend money? It used to be CDOT, but it's a joke. All you're doing is cart paths and bicycle lanes and whatever the Democrats
want.
Well,
and painting off the big contractors.
Yeah, the big contractors.
Don't forget about the pogo sticks.
Yeah, that's right. The pogo stick lanes.
Oh, pogo stick lanes.
That's at least right. You can social distance easier on a pogo stick.
Yeah. So is there any part of the budget you guys go, oh, we got to protect this? You know, no.
There's a lot of stuff that we were fighting for at the beginning of the session. Like, I do think like the IDD wait list, that type of thing that would actually be worthwhile. But look, everything's changed given the budget we're at now. And I think this actually gives us an opportunity to like analyze every single program within the state government and actually do some major changes. I mean, I've got to make cuts
and I got to make tough decisions, but every time I do it, I kind of, I didn't really have to do with that before. You know, this makes me better. It's painful, but that's why businesses tend to get better.
You survive the cycle
and governments don't, because, they never say, well, let's get rid of, why do we have all these bureaucrats?
Why do we have Tabor? We got to get rid of Tabor
immediately, obviously. So we can tax
the hell
out of it. So
they can tax all the people who don't have any money left anymore. Well, Patrick, what do
you... Right, I agree completely. I think, I take a look at it. Even my own staff budget, right? I've got a certain staff budget that I haven't spent all my money on. And now it's, trying to make sure that we can save that money and revert it back to, the general fund so that... Right. We're doing shared sacrifice, and let's see if the state government does the same. Let's see if Jared Polis does the same. It sounds like at least they kind of put a pause to any state employees' raises.
Well, here's what I think they should do, Patrick.
See, I kind of wonder too. Like, he really wanted full day kindergarten, right?
Right.
He really wanted that. Well, that costs about $150 million a year.
Yeah. Maybe
if he really wants that. The man's wealthy enough.
Maybe. What they could do is quit paying.
Why doesn't he pay for it?
They could quit paying John Hickenlooper, former Governor John Hickenlooper's ethics complaint lawyer, right? So our tax dollars are going to pay for John Hickenlooper's bad behavior being defended. I mean, maybe they could cut that out too. I mean, I bet if you were to put it to the citizens, they could come up with some ideas pretty darn quickly. And it sounds like you guys are doing a good job kind of pointing that out.
I mean, seriously, full-day kindergarten. That's his main thing, his main program. Well, he could write a check for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could. Right.
Right.
So why doesn't he?
Final question before we let you go. What are you hearing?
We already let him go.
He's got 10 minutes.
Yeah. All right, well, let me ask him a question then.
Okay.
I see that you've nominated Randy Corbin for Republican committee man. Do you want to tell us?
We support that.
And we totally support that. We think it's a great nomination. Why did you decide to nominate Randy?
Oh, it's so simple. I mean, for this, like, we truly need someone in the party who understands grassroots.
Right.
And I've been trying to push the grassroots cause, as you guys know.
We have
our separate, Take Back Colorado organization that's trying to promote the grassroots. But Randy's been in the grassroots of politics longer than I've been in it. Like, he's been doing this for over a decade. Back when I was, an Army captain, when I first met him, he was, doing tea parties and starting up the Arapaho Tea Party. He's even volunteered his time as an attorney to help out different organizations, organizations to move forward. And that's what we truly need. We need someone who can understand, who does understand the grassroots politics and can actually help them get involved in the party structure. And we've been kind of lacking that in recent years, and he's the perfect man for the job.
Yeah. All right.
But wait a minute. Both ways, Bob and some other people from El Paso County who hate you have nominated Eli Bremmer.
Right.
Don't vote for him.
Eli Bremmer, who my understanding is he actually wants to kill the entire caucus, too.
Yes, he does. He wrote an article the other day.
The grassroots organization we have out there is caucus.
Right.
Ryan Call is
also backing him, the beloved Ryan Call. So, if you like your Never Trump politics, vote for Eli Bremmer. But if you like real people, I think Patrick's nomination is a great one. Okay, Julie, you can go ahead.
Okay, well, that was someone else. Patrick, we'll let you go. We went a minute past. Sorry about that. We lie when we say, we can do this in 5 minutes. But thank you for your time.
Thanks, Patrick.
Happy Easter to your family, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
All right, thank you, guys. God bless.
All right, you bye too. Bye. Thank you. All right, so 888-627-6008 is the number if you want to call in. 888-627-6008. One quick note, if you usually watch us on Facebook, you might be having a little bit of difficulty. Facebook,
we're getting too successful.
Yeah, Facebook is doing weird stuff in these times.
We've become this diamond and silk of
kind of, yeah. Who's diamond and who's silk? But anyway, so you can always find it. Just go to chuckandjulie.com. That takes you to all the various places. 888-627-6008. And you can also go to bbsradio.com, the Chuck and Julie Show, if you want to join us via Zoom. So you can be on audio and video too. So Chuck was,
let's get Ben on. He wanted to talk about my triumph.
Okay, let's explain what we're talking about there in the first place. Yeah, we do. So Ben, if you bring your audio and video up, this is our friend Ben Nicholas. So the way it works is, there we go. Congratulations, Chuck.
Ben, it's that Cairo, you know, that keeps going.
That's right. Why don't you explain to folks what it is that Chuck, why we're congratulating Chuck, I guess.
Well, Chuck won actually the third position on the ballot. Now, I was not in attendance at, you know, online because I couldn't vote. So I kind of got secondhand information from the some of the people that I was, in a thread with. And so they kind of kept me informed as to what was going on. But Chuck is the first alternate. So that is that he came into the third position with the most, or the third position with the most ballots. And so he's going to be a great representative of us. I'm just a little disappointed that he was not going to be an actual delegate.
Oh, no. I didn't want to be, because we're going to go down there. I get to interview everybody. If they said
we'll
to me
take
ahead
the
of
show
time,
there. Yeah.
We're taking
yeah.
the show
yeah.
there. And so I don't have to attend anything unless somebody bails out, and none of those people
are
going to bail out.
But what we're talking about is last night was the vote in CD7, Colorado's Congressional
right.
District 7, for the people who had gone to the caucus, wanted to put their hat in the ring, so to speak, to be a delegate at the caucus. Now, the last election was a little bit, shall we say, more interesting, because there were some Never Trump people there, and there are a lot of people who didn't like Trump. This time, Trump is the only candidate, so it's not like it's going to be, you know...
Oh, no, you have Never Trumpers, I promise you.
No, I know, but it's not...
You have Never Trumpers who are pretending to be Trumpers.
But, I mean,
now.
There's only one candidate, right? So
right.
So Trump is a candidate, so in that level. But then in terms of just having... being involved in the play of the Colorado Republican Party, does this have... Do the delegates and the alternate delegates and these people have any kind of... How does that all work?
Well, they're important, because when you go to the national... convention, you'll be voting on the platform.
Right.
And those rules are there, as well as rules that are going to be in place for the next election cycle. So it is a highly important position there. What's disappointing to me is that we have essentially elected two Never Trumpsters, in my
right.
opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Maria Weiss
anti-American. Anti our troops, anti our country. Maria.
Well, and she's the one who files false criminal complaints.
Yeah, she ought to be in jail.
Let me give you just a little history about who this person really is, because I know that they really pushed her hard to become that delegate.
Right.
Maria Weiss was removed. Well, I shouldn't say removed. She resigned from being the vice chair of CD7. And she got in trouble because she attacked Bruce Baker, who was a council member on Westminster City Council,
right.
for his stand on being or the city moving towards being a sanctuary city.
Right.
So she attacked him in an open forum and made certain that there was newspaper there, a newspaper people, so they could record her on that. Well, then just prior to them taking corrective action over there at the CD7, she... just prior to the vote to remove her, she resigned her position to save face. The next thing that she did was she was removed from House District 35 as that chairman. And she was attempting to do the same thing, that she was going to resign. And I was in part of that for her removal, because she did not do anything. It was a dereliction of duty. And also she failed to support any of our candidates over there. And so, just to bring you up to speed, here is a this is something that we published, we meaning Adams County Republican Party. I don't know if you, let me get this back here a little bit.
There you go.
This is the, this is the voter's guide that we put together in 2016.
Okay.
Now, these two dirt bags right here, this is Mike Kaufman and Kevin Priola called us and insisted that their names and their pictures be removed from this flyer so they would not be associated with then-candidate Trump, okay?
Oh, my God. Yeah, we saw how that worked out. What did Trump say? Too bad, right. Mike.
Right. And so what else occurred was this person right up here at the top, this lady right here, Jessica Sandgren, she also, her campaign manager, also called and threw a fit about her picture being associated with then-candidate Trump and insisted that her name also be removed. So it costs our county party more money to reprint these things and get them out and disperse them because this lady right here,
yeah,
her campaign manager was Maria Weiss.
Oh, God. Okay, so...
So she was a never-Trumpster, and now she's going to represent me as a delegate. That's what I'm kind of upset about. Well. Now, this is the other thing that when, you know, they cost us all that to be removed, you know, they obviously lost their positions here. This is one other thing here. I don't know if you can see this, but I was a delegate at the... And let me see if I can get it in there.
There you go.
Okay. Okay. I was a delegate at the 2016 state convention, okay, when Trump was a candidate. This right here, I think you can see it right there. This is the list of men and women that put their name out there that were Trump supporters. So this is a slate. This is a slate ticket.
Okay.
Of the Trump supporters at that time. And there were damn few of us.
Right.
Damn few of us. My name's not on here because I didn't want to spend the money to go to the national convention.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So there's names on there. Now you can see that there is one up there as 541, and that is Heblis, I think it's Vandergolt.
Okay.
He was on the slate last night. He was on that ticket. And so if anybody should have went.
Right. It
should have been. Oh, yeah, certainly. Yeah. Laura Eimer, who the Trump.
She's great. Last week. She's yeah. great. She's okay. great.
Laura was absolutely great, and so was this man right here, because he was the one who's with this party. You can't imagine how bad that this was for all of the Trump supporters at Colorado Springs, because everybody was a Cruz supporter.
Right.
Well, so, that's my problem. I don't like being represented by a fake and a phony and somebody who filed – you know, a TRO charge against our chairman at the time.
Yeah, phony criminal charge.
In the ass ever since she came into Adams County.
Well, and here's the reason, and tell me if I'm wrong, here's the reason why she has any kind of power at all. I mean, go back to, and people who've listened to our show hear this, but the establishment Republican Party in Colorado, the Bob O'Praise, the Coors, the Anschutz, the
Rick Enstrom.
I mean, some of these
make great candy.
Oh yeah, here's the
well,
thing.
He's called the Candyman, but apparently has a double meaning. I'm told.
Well, let me finish why though. So people who don't really follow are like, what are they talking about? The Colorado Republican Party, the establishment arm of the Colorado Republican Party, every election cycle hires the same few consultants who make a ton of money, and what do? They lose. Mm-hmm. They lose. They spend all their money fighting other Republicans like the Nevilles, who are just trying to get people elected. Republicans elected. There is this establishment arm and their consultant group with all the money. They would rather lose an election, every election, yes, like we did in 2018, than let any grassroots people or any voters actually have a say in things. And so that's why they put people like Maria Weiss in there, because she'll just do whatever they tell them. She's like,
that's
okay.
That's right. She's the useful idiot
that they
trot out there. That's why the TRO was filed against Anil Mathai, and it was unjust. Yeah, I mean, if that thing would have went further, if I was Anil, I would have turned around and sued her for defamation of character.
I understand. Well, and here's why this matters so much, because in Colorado, everybody talks about, you know, you read all the establishment Republicans and then the progressive Dems say Colorado is a blue state. You can just tell it's a blue state. Well, it's not. Our friend Ted Trimble, who's a Democrat strategist, says when you look at the counties, he said, no, it's pretty even. He said, we just do such a better job of getting the vote out.
Well, he also says, and he's talking about the establishment.
That's right.
He's saying they don't want to win.
Republicans.
Yes. Establishment Republicans don't want to win. He says it's obvious they don't want to win. They don't put ground games out. They don't go to church groups.
Well, they withhold money from people like Tom Tancredo, right? Yeah. And so why that matters is Colorado, I mean, I think that a lot of Republicans in Colorado would stand a chance if the establishment Colorado Republicans would just get out of the way. I mean, they don't have to give us even any money. Just get out of the way
so that
the grassroots people can at least try
but
to get
you have to understand, which nobody does seem to understand, is that everything is money.
Well, I know.
And the people, you know, Bob Beaupre doesn't have any of his own money, and neither do any of the other people. And so, you know, when we all go to the caucus room to vote, well, who funds that? Who owns caucus room?
Matt Needler was.
Phil Anschutz owns it through five different interconnecting subsidiaries throughout the thing. I mean, that is, and Colorado politics, which is really left of center. On the Colorado Gazette.
Right.
Who owns that? Phil Anschutz.
Anschutz, yeah.
It's Anschutz and Coors and Stevenson.
But, you know, I can't blame a lot of these multimillionaires and billionaires that are resisting writing a check. I mean, do we have a plan of attack?
They're writing checks.
Yeah.
They're writing checks.
Yeah, but they're small checks. I don't think they – if you remember
– How much do you think Mac Needler actually makes?
I have no idea.
Well, I promise you, it's not small. And all the other people, Phil, I mean, ultimately, these are just useful people to the people with money whose wives are pro-abortion. They don't like Trump. They don't like his brashness. They don't like his everything else. And so, really, I mean, like Maria.
Yeah, we're sending two people to delegates that feel that way about it right now. It's frustrating to me.
Right. Yeah. Well, listen, Ben, we're going to let you go back.
We'll
get you back in later. Thank you for doing that. I want to open it up to other folks, too. 888-627-6008. Ben, thank you for that, explaining that. I think people in Colorado, the grassroots people, you know, folks like Jan Cook with Colorado Freedom Force, folks like George Anthonisopoulos, who was getting that ballot initiative, right? Who call us crazy? You have to be an American citizen to vote in an American election, right? You wouldn't think you need a ballot initiative. There are plenty of grassroots people, Randy Corcoran, who are working hard and trying to work hard. And what I just say to the establishment Republicans is just get out of the way. If you don't want to win,
getting out of the way.
I know they don't listen to the show, but I just think
they do listen to the show.
To attack it. I just think that we saw what happened in 2018. Every single state office was won by a Democrat. Okay. Walker Stapleton, God bless him, but everyone was like, what? Why do we, you know?
Well, Lynn Bartles, who on a personal basis, I really like because she's pleasant. She's always been pleasant. And I think she was a great reporter. But she's basically a Democrat. And she is a Democrat. She did this Hamlet thing. Should be a Republican. Should be a Democrat. Should I be a Republican? Oh, I'll be a Republican. Which means you're really not a Republican at all, right? But the Democrats don't want her. You know, she's nowhere near progressive enough for them. And so
she's too reasonable and common sense.
Well, no, she's not all that on the Republican side. So she was announcing that, why did all these people lose? And this is just in an article or a letter, you know, a few weeks ago. Why did people lose in 2018? She says it was because of Trump.
Right. I mean, and let's just back up. I'm sorry, Lynn, and you are a great reporter. And anyone else who says that, in the Colorado, not the Colorado, the Republican Party, one of the latest polls, Trump's approval rating was 96%. You got to remember, Trump, it's not like he was trounced in Colorado, right?
4%.
He lost by 4%, which was closer than McCain, right?
Right.
Or closer than Romney, one
both,
of them.
Both.
Okay, so he was closer. So no one said, well, they lost because of Romney, they lost because of McCain.
But they did not lose, and now you know she doesn't know what she's talking about. They did not lose because of mail ballots and ballot harvesting. They lost because of Trump. Now, anybody who tells you that and says they're Republican, they're not. They're working for the establishment. Who think after 2022 they'll be able to come back in Colorado, and you know it's just amazing. But that You can ask Maria Vietz, why did they lose? And you know, she'll say whatever the puppet hand says to her, but it's amazing to watch.
It is. Well, and that's so kind of moving there. That's why it's good to have people like you. Yay. Congratulations.
Yay, thank you.
Thanks
to Ben and Anil and Joe Jenneke and all the people who really fought hard for me.
That's
so
right.
I really appreciate it.
888-627-6008. Want to switch a little bit and talk about, okay, coronavirus. One of the things I think that's interesting, what we're seeing happening now, is we're starting to get, rather than these models, which as I said last show, Tiger the Wonder Dog could have been as right as they were, right?
You could have
had her, okay, bark at which set of projections you think is going to be most likely, and she couldn't have been any more wrong. Let's put it that way. But now they're starting to get some actual numbers, right, from counties and things like that.
Well, and they're all phony too.
Well, and so let's just go over a couple of crazy things that are happening in the media. So once again, CBS, in doing the story, because the progressive media want to keep hyping that we don't have enough hospital beds, right, because they want to blame Trump for that, even though if we don't, it was Obama's problem. But they want to keep hyping that. So what do they show? Not once, they got into a lot of trouble for showing that Italian hospital that was overcrowded, right?
Right.
Okay, they're like, oh, sorry, we shouldn't have done that. Well, they showed it again. They showed it again in a broadcast. You're seeing now they're talking about digging mass graves. My daughter mentioned this to me, right? She goes, they're digging mass graves in New York City. She says, that's terrible. It's like, okay, not true either. What they're doing is it's a potter's field, essentially. It's been in existence for over 150 years,
right?
And this is where they
bury. It's a pauper's grave, basically.
A pauper's grave, basically. They bury a couple dozen people there
a week anyway.
So when they show these pictures of these people digging graves, implying, and in fact, some of the headlines actually saying it's coronavirus victims, right?
Well, some are.
Maybe.
Yeah, sure.
Well, they call everything coronavirus.
Right.
It's not true. So you have to be so careful what you're looking at. And, you know, I think it's just when you look at the county numbers that are starting to come in, right? There's a German study now that is showing the mortality rate out of Germany is 0.37, 10 times lower than what the models that shut this country down were projecting. So mm-hmm. I think, and then you see, so Jared Polis, get this. Okay, so in Colorado,
comes out is 0.3%. Basically.
Right. So Jared Polis today held his news conference in front of the Colorado Convention Center, which they are turning into a hospital with 2,000 beds in it. Okay, so guess how many people have been hospitalized in Colorado so far? So far, right? Roughly 1,200. Okay, so we've done stories on this show before about Denver Health Medical Center, other hospitals sending people home. They're empty, right? So in the entire state, roughly 1,200 people have been hospitalized. We don't need these extra beds. Why is Jared Polis doing this? And then they said, oh, now we're not going to peak till May, right? It's like, why are we not peaking till May? How do we know we haven't peaked already? Why do we think it's going to be extended to May? So there is so much out there. And I guess where I'm going with this, and then I'll go off my rant, Chuck, and you can weigh in. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump, I think, is getting smart. He's now talking about, you know, maybe we can start to reopen some things in May. And of course, he's not falling trap. The people are like, can you give us a date?
Give us an exact date.
He's like, no, I'm not going to fall into that trap again. But I'm hoping that Trump can start talking like that. Then Polis, who clearly wants to keep the Colorado economy shut down as long as possible, is for a variety of reasons. But hopefully there will be pressure on him as other governors, just like there was a ripple effect of everybody closing the cities. Hopefully there'll be a ripple effect where people are like, well, wait a minute, you know, why can't we start doing some of that here? Take health precautions, common sense ones, sure. But we can also, I think, strategically, and it's time to just start reopening things. It's clear.
He's not going to. But his problem is.
Polis, you mean, or Trump?
Polis.
Okay.
His problem is all the governors around him, you know, from Wyoming to Nebraska to Utah and so forth, have not gone on big lockdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And people will start drifting across state lines to shop and to do other things. And now Denver's a bit away from everything, so you can't just leave Denver easily. But it'll start to have a cascading effect. And you know, his oil and gas regulations combined with the world market have killed the oil and gas industry. I mean, it's
they're declaring bankruptcy. They're laying off hundreds of workers.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a total mess. And, you know, they say this weekend is supposed to be the peaking point. I think that really depends on are there any more hot spots that open up. I mean, if California remains, you know, pretty dormant, all things considered,
right.
If Chicago, if L.A., if Miami, if they don't all of a sudden start spiking up, because New York's coming down. I mean, New York has high deaths again today. New York and New Jersey.
But the hospitalizations are coming down.
And that's the real indicator. You know, that's
right.
The lead indicator, because that's, you know, number of cases is not an indicator, because it just depends on how many tests you do.
And they're making it up, by the way.
Right,
I mean, the deaths,
right.
I mean, take this into account. There's this doctor who is being a whistleblower, I think, right? And the Gateway Pundit has done some great stories on that, where he's pointing out that if you're a doctor, Medicaid reimburses you more if you declare the patient as a COVID patient.
Right.
The CDC has said if they even, like, know someone who has coronavirus, call it a coronavirus death.
Right.
So coincidentally, flu deaths are going down, right? Because they're attributing everything to coronavirus deaths. In the meantime, though, they also get reimbursed three times as much if they go ahead and put people on ventilators. So that's why, you know, they're still, and what is Polis is like, so we're building these hospital beds. We have a very small percentage of people on ventilators. All of a sudden, he's jumping up and down saying Trump wasn't sending his ventilators. Now we got him. We clearly don't need him.
Right.
And so, but what do they do then? They turn around and say, oh, guess what? I know we've been saying all along that this week is the peak here in Colorado. Guess what? Our bad. Now it's not going to be till May.
June and whatever else.
Because here's the thing. And let me ask.
And yesterday, you know, there's a huge spike in death and huge spike in growth. Oh, that's just all the other cases we forgot to report for last month. Oh, okay. Well, then, you know, this is an accurate survey.
Right. And here, this is from Anil Mathai. The numbers are inflated as the broke hospitals want free money from taxpayers.
Right.
It's a sick system, no pun intended. It shows that we've sold our soul for the dollar in many cases. Our kids suffer today and tomorrow for the corrupt character of many of our adults today.
Anil always says it so well.
I know. Well, it does. And I think, again, even under the worst case models now, it's not going to be any worse than a flu season, right? So in other words, this was not necessary. And here's the thing that just infuriates me. When they talk about, so remember, flattening the curve doesn't mean that fewer people get it or that fewer people die. It just means it doesn't happen all at once. So there is this bizarre, and I think the word for it is right from Anil, corrupt strategy, I think, to extend the peak, right? So then they can
right into election season. So they can have mail ballot elections
and no Trump campaigns. I mean, so they're not, the way to hurry up and do this essentially is the herd immunity, right? Enough people will have had it so the virus doesn't get new hosts and it can't pass on. By spreading it out, they're keeping it going longer,
right?
And every other couple of weeks they could say, oh, we're doing such a great job at social distancing. Here's the other thing. In all of the models, it's my understanding, the models included social distancing.
Yes.
Plus,
yes.
The social distancing wasn't even in effect. I mean, it hasn't been in effect long enough to be showing up. These experts, and I get, in my opinion, Trump was forced into this position. These experts clearly are making it up, right? And why have we turned our nation's economy, our future, into these hands of these bureaucratic experts who have
no
accountability?
Well, we did with Obamacare. If you want to keep your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you know, your costs will go down. I think it's, in some ways it's an instructive lesson that, you know, experts are just bureaucrats who make it up, and as long as the press kind of bows down to them, to their expertise and their experts.
I mean, we won't even talk. As you said, you know, you just loathe the mainstream media anymore. These
what I love
no
is...
No critical thinking, no questions, except for Trump about... the Surgeon General said something today about Big Mama and Pop Pop, and who is Black, by the way, and then that stupid PBS reporter jumped on him and said that's racist. It's like, what?
I didn't watch that, but I usually, because Trump has gotten so adept at playing him, and they can't stand it. The New York Times had an article saying many Republicans think that Trump ought to stop. Yeah, sure, New York Times. You betcha. We believe you. We believe you.
Okay, yeah, this is, a report today said that New York City had 1,500 people on the ventilators. What about the 30,000 needed? Exactly.
Right.
I mean, that is all just a...
If you get on a ventilator, hope you won, and I've been through 8 major joint replacement surgeries. 8. too much rugby, too much football. But I can tell you that having, you know, when you're in there for a while, you come off with some great nurses who do great jobs, but you also get some new ones that do not know what they're doing, and they can kill you. And so these ventilators, if they get people don't know what they're doing, they're killing these people. They put on the ventilator too hard and expands. Oh.
Well, but and a lot of people are recovering. There's like a 98% recovery rate. One other thing.
Not on ventilators. Or something.
888-627-6008. Here's one other thing that I wonder where we go from here, because my guess is they're going to try to, they being the Democrats, are going to try to do this again in the fall, right? Just because they want it.
Just because.
If the economy recovers, if the stock market goes up. I mean, what, the stock market? You don't hear this. You heard about all the.
Yeah, all right. I don't even know what the stock market did today.
It had its best week last week since 1974.
All right.
Now, you don't hear that. But when do we... For instance, Casper Stockham was tweeting today, good for him.
Yeah, good for
he
Casper.
Said, look, starting April 30th, I'm going to start campaigning.
Right.
And I don't care what anybody says. I'll do social distancing. I'll follow the rules. I'll take help with the social distancing rules. I'll be careful. He said, but I'm going out there. He said, and when do we, and normally you're the one calling for civil revolt, but like why?
Well, I'm not the one calling for civil revolt.
Well, no, normally you are, but this time I'm.
Normally, that's your job.
When do we start
saying, it's a call for revolution.
You saw where they handcuffed the guy in Brighton.
Oh, that was cute. With his kid and his wife.
When do we start saying no? You know, when do we start saying, look, I'll go to the grocery store and I'll stand in line and I'll keep my social distance. That's great. But when do businesses say, like Appliance Factory or Hobby Lobby, when do they start, our small business, right, the nail salon, when do they start saying, you know what, I'm opening up? And what, I mean, well, to me.
Denver gave out 17 citations to 17 different firms. You know, or they're subject to, you know, fines.
Well,
and I'm
Jefferson
sure.
County doing the same thing, right? Yeah. They're putting, well, and they're encouraging, here's the thing, you know it's rotten. They're encouraging people to tell on their neighbors. So
right.
The models are wrong, right? The models are completely wrong. It's not nearly the extent that they said it was. In other words, it's no worse than the flu, really. So
right,
we don't
right.
need to treat it any worse than the flu. We don't shut down over the flu. But instead they say, no, here are the number of ways you can tell on your friends and neighbors and business. And the Jeffco form even said, hey, take some pictures if you can. Why in anyone's right mind would they want to tell on their neighbor who's simply trying to feed their family?
Because
right?
they're sick people.
I just think it is time to start saying, you know what, I'm going to be patient for a little while, but Jared Polis and Donald Trump, at a certain point, I think as just citizens, we have to say, we can't let a bunch of health bureaucrats do this to us,
well,
right?
You have to realize that if you took Northern New Jersey and New York City out of it,
right.
The death tolls are really no different than the 2017, 2018 flu season. I'm New York and Northern New Jersey, for some reason, is, and you can guess the reasons, but incredibly, you know, more than half, and I present what percentage of the population they constitute the United States, but you know, maybe 10% at most, or probably 5. Other than that, most of the United States, it's, you know, 2, 3, 10, Colorado will have 10, 20. I mean, the flu season takes that many older people out. And in some cases, is, you know, we both had our parents die, and mm-hmm. and watching them at the end, I promise you, was a very painful one. And the quality of life those last few days, if the flu came by and they passed away, it would have been a blessing from all that pain and agony they went, both our parents went through. But the idea that we're closed down the entire economy because it goes through nursing homes, I mean, some way to protect nursing homes, some way to ensure that nursing homes, if one person has it, it just doesn't sweep through the whole place. That's what I'll be concentrating on,
right.
Not manufacturing some more of these ventilators that are incredibly expensive, hard to operate. If you don't have a good mechanic running it, they can be very harmful to the patient.
Well, and even worse, I mean, the problem is they said, like, you know, Ben just said that in New York, they have 1,500, right? But they were predicting they needed 30,000. I mean, there was this giant jump. So I think we need to be, it's very alarming, you know, when we start turning over, our rights, I guess there's no other way to say it, to a bunch of elites and a bunch of bureaucrats, a bunch of doctors and elite media people who say, oh, well, you're just ignorant or a Nazi if you question our numbers. And when their numbers turn out to be catastrophically, astronomically wrong, there's something wrong with you and you're still a Nazi or you're a hater or you want hundreds of thousands of people killed. It's kind of like, you know, they try to stomp you down so you can't ask questions. And I just think, you know, hopefully come November that this, they won't try to do this again. Or if they do, people will just simply say, no, I'm not going to do it, you know?
Well, you know, that'll take a lot of guts for the first few people to do that.
Well, yeah, but again, you know, you got to wonder, you know, for instance, I'm not the lawyer for Hobby Lobby or for Appliance Factory, but I would have been tempted to say, take me to court, take us to court, take us to court and show me where anywhere the Tri-County Health Department, right? So three unelected bureaucrats have the right to close my business.
The courts at this
point.
Well,
the courts, yeah. Well, and there again, it, you know, and like you talk about prosecutors, so they're just like, oh, that whole speedy trial thing doesn't count now.
No.
It's like, what do you mean it doesn't count
it
now?
Doesn't count.
Right?
It doesn't count.
It's like, so we're going to release a lot of criminals, not all of them, just some. Like, what's the basis of that, right?
Whatever. And they're making it up now. They're making the laws up. They're making everything up. And it's obvious. And of course, they always do. Then I want to talk a little bit about the thing last night. Fred Clifford ran a great meeting, you know, and you have all these.
So wait, back up so folks know what we're talking about. Okay. So in Colorado, the congressional districts.
There are five of them throughout the state.
Have no, there's seven. CD7. I was going to say there's CD7.
Yeah,
We're in CD7. Did they skip one? But anyway, so they have for the precinct caucuses, and then you move to the county, and then this was this congressional district, and you get run for, and you can be elected to be a delegate to the national convention, which is what was going on among other things last night.
Right, and it was, you know. Ken Buck came by on Zoom, and Corey Gardner came on by Zoom, so that was great.
Casper Stockham
was great, and Mark Barrington gave his
introduction.
He had a very good introduction for him, as well as other people. So overall, and there were technical glitches because all those things, that's a new technology, and you know, but by and large, it worked out great. But you were sitting there, and I'd never been to a CD7. I was a delegate to the state one back in 2010, but I didn't go to the CD1 back then. But there were parts of it on the new rules. They said, okay, this vote will be considered, if you don't vote, it's yes. And if you vote, you must put your name and everything else and put no. And you have 30 seconds. You go. Oh, you didn't get it in? Oh, that's too bad.
That's a yes. Even though no one knew what they were doing, right?
I mean, I lived in Franco's Spain, in a town called Salamanca, a university where I went to. And they used to have municipal elections very similar to this. The alcalde was appointed by somebody else, which in our case, we got a great woman being the Trump, but you know, we weren't electing them in Salamanca. I did not have a Spanish citizenship, so I wouldn't be voting anyway, but everything was exactly the same. Oh, you can vote on this? Well, if you don't like what we're going to do, then you stand up and raise your hand, everybody else, okay? And it's obvious it's rigged. It's obvious that it's rigged. And I don't know why the Republican Party in Colorado wants to go through things where people are kind of going, Why is it
rigged?
Necessary to rig things? Why is it to establish Francisco Franco municipal election rules?
I kind of thought that too, because you kind of only had their word for how many participants there were, right? And there were people coming and going too, because it took a long time. So then if they say, so we have 209 people, we only had 40 people vote, but we're saying anyone who didn't vote
is
a yes.
Yeah,
right? And so you're, number one, no offense to those people. I think they tried to do a good job.
Well, they didn't adopt the state
rules. Right,
but
they did.
But they gave it, you know.
But it was kind of like, what do you mean if you don't vote? That's a yes.
Yeah,
maybe that's not voting.
Right.
You know what I mean?
What do you know? So it's strange. And it's who's adding up the votes? It's Phil. Because it's the caucus thing. So Kelly Maher, who I really like, and I don't know Matt Needler, but I'm sure he's an okay guy. But it's basically Phil saying, okay, tell him this is okay. Tell him that's okay. Tell him you're elected. Maria Weiss. Yeah, yeah. You love it. Well, wasn't W pronounced like a V?
Well,
it's Weiss, isn't it? At least in German it is. It's Weimar Republic. It's not Weimar Republic.
Hers is spelled W-E-E-S-E, though. So that's a whole aside. Don't even go there. But the thing is, it was kind of weird how they did that. But I will say, you know, we were laughing, though, because Rev, our third grade son, is doing their classes. And once again, a shout out to the Academy of Charter Schools via Zoom. And I was kind of laughing while we had all of these Republicans trying to figure out how to do Zoom, right? But the third graders get it down really easily.
They have a lot more agile minds, I promise you.
I was saying what they need to do next time is get a bunch of third graders in there to show them how to work.
Well, I promise you, at third grade, I probably had a more,
more
pliable mind, a better mind in some ways.
Well, so then what will happen then, you know, is one of the other things we wanted to talk about a little bit, because Ben has done a great job on this, just kind of keeping it back and forth from local to national. And again, 888-627-6008.
You want to add your 2 cents? Come on.
Let me add my 2 cents if I could.
Come on in.
I forgot to mention earlier, since you picked at the scab once again, Louise, this little lady right here.
Can't see it.
Okay.
Yeah. This is Emily Voss.
Okay.
She was our candidate in House District 35.
Okay.
House District 35, the very House District that Maria Weiss was the chairman at the time of this race. And Maria Weiss was supporting or running this lady's campaign.
Okay.
In House District 31.
Okay.
Completely out of her district. And she's
running a campaign, but she was the chair of another campaign.
That's right. And she never gave this young Emily Voss any support.
Emily was great. We met Emily. I thought she was wonderful.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying that just so upset that I'm being represented by a person I just can't. You know,
Well, more exciting for you, Ben, is she's also been nominated to be the Republican committee woman. So she can also take that position over, because you wouldn't want her not just going to, you know, representing Trump, who she hates. She can rep the whole state with her big brain and her whole
anti-Trumpness,
and the Candyman can support her and get things going for her. I mean, just amazing. And you know, we talked about. We got to find out who the great.
Yeah, can you hang on a second? Because I need to go get the salt to rub in my wounds.
Okay, thank you, Ben.
Go ahead.
We'll keep going here. One of the things, though, that Ben has been doing that I think is going to be real helpful is because Chuck is a precinct captain and I'm the precinct minion.
No, I'm the
PCP. Oh, okay.
Joe Genegate is the captain.
Okay, you're the PCP, which means that what Ben is doing is putting together, because this is what the Democrats do, a map of the people in our area.
Don't give away everything.
Oh, we don't want to give it away? Well, anyway, he's doing a good job of getting basically what the Democrats do, and that's the data research, right? So we're going to be able to tell what house, why don't we want to give this away? We need to be doing
ask
this all
Ben.
Over
them.
Okay.
He doesn't want all his tricks given out.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Mr.
Julie.
I'm sorry.
Julie.
I'll have to delete that part of the podcast. But I think
it's not like no one ever listens to you. I'm just a few thousand people around here.
Sorry, Ben. Chuck didn't say it was secret.
I've got to preface everything I tell Julie that you may tell no one.
Well,
that means you only tell her best friends.
Right. What's a TV person? But I think that what's good is, though, there are grassroots Republicans. I guess a broader point is there are grassroots Republicans who are learning from what the Democrats have been doing so successfully and saying, as our friend Ted Trimpa says, hey, we can do that. Why are we not doing that? Let's start doing that. And we can hopefully have another blueprint Colorado, only it would be, I guess, a red print Colorado, because that's how the Democrats started. They took individual races, a small group of people saying, using their brains and saying, hey, let's try this. And then it worked, and it worked well enough. And pretty soon the state was forced to adopt it. And voila, you have what they call now the Colorado model. I think what I see some grassroots Republicans doing is actively not waiting for the state Republican Party to give them any information, not waiting for the state Republican Party to say, oh, here's all this stuff, because they're not doing it. And I think grassroots people are doing it. And I think going back to my earlier point about liberty, I guess, and throwing out the elites. You know, that they're trying hard, they being the elites, to crack down on populism. We saw them kill the elite Democrats, get rid of Bernie Sanders, right? Or pull support for Bernie Sanders and put all of it behind Joe Biden. We saw them try to do it and continue to try to do it where Trump is, right? Trump gets forced into making decisions and people are like, please now start reopening the economy. I think that it's just, you know, so many people just going around trying to live their lives, which makes a lot of sense. But I think people hopefully are paying attention now and saying, hey, wait a minute. This is the consequence of having an all-Democrat government in Colorado. There is no one to challenge Jared Polis and say, wait a minute, Appliance Factory can stay open. There is no one to challenge Jared Polis and say, you know, I don't know if we need to do it this way. When the Republicans do, they get slammed, right, by the media. When the Democrats say, because this is ridiculous, all these Democrat legislators are saying no one should have to pay rent for the longest time ever in Colorado, and the government needs to take over the housing. Well, the good news is the developers will put the kibosh on that fairly quickly, don't you think? But I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, you know, if they pay them enough, they'll do whatever the government wants to bid them. You know, they will sell the rope to hang them. That's what developers will do. But it's an amazing process. But I think you know, the bright points, we got the Patrick Nevers, we got the Chris Olbers, we got the Randy Corbins, we've got some great people out there.
We got me.
and so there is some hope. It's just not Candyman and Moneybag Man and the whole assortment of these people.
Well, and on a national level, we do also have now the models being so wrong. Right. There are a lot of people saying, wait a minute. So we went from 1.2 million people dying in the United States to fewer than 60,000. I mean, when that kind of thing happens, I think people start saying, why are we listening to Fauci? Why are we listening to Birx? And then it makes it easier and it starts paving the way for Trump then to put together a team, which is, it sounds like what they're doing, to go ahead and talk about how to, in steps, reopen the economy.
It was interesting down in Georgia, Kelly Loeffler was made the appointee by the governor for the Senate seat, and they always talked about her as a businesswoman and everything else. No, she married the guy who owns the New York Stock Exchange. He owns the New York Stock Exchange. Oh, she's a businesswoman. Yeah, she's great, you know. And obviously she was appointed because the guy said, hey, you guys want me to raise $100 million for Georgia? I'll raise $100 million for Georgia. But she's tanked now, you know, because she was found to make all those insider trades and everything else. And so Collins is way ahead of her in the polls. So maybe that'll be a good one where the average person wins and not just the wife of the rich guy.
Well, and again, I mean, your thoughts on what to do to start reopening things. I mean, I think that, okay, we're done with this through April 30th. I think that they need to start instituting, say, okay, if you're going to do this or that, then having told us we don't need to wear a mask, now we all have to wear a mask. But maybe say, okay.
That's not a bad idea to tell
the truth. No.
I mean, when they were telling us we didn't have to wear a mask, I was going, why is that?
We do.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Now they go, oh, you have to wear a mask now.
And
we'll shoot you. I mean, it's amazing how the little dictators do.
Well, and it seems to me that if you can social distance inside, say, a Lowe's, right, you should be able to social distance, say, inside your neighborhood dress shop or your, you know, I mean, why can't we start doing that kind of thing? It seems to me that if you can social distance while you're waiting in line at the restaurant to do pickup, well, maybe you could social distance while you're actually sitting down.
As a practical matter, other than New York and Northern New Jersey, two-thirds of the country could open up with some social distancing and mask things and be fine because the number of people dying is very small. And it's no more than a extended flu season. So, I mean, why don't we just shut down New York? Shut down New York and northern New Jersey and say the rest of the country have fun.
Well, and why is anybody, you know, again, Bill de Blasio and Andrew Cuomo, so they're in charge of, they call it a hot spot, right? Because that implies that it's a hot spot now and there are going to be other hot spots.
Right.
But so far we have not seen any evidence.
And warmer weather. You know, the canary in the coal mine, I said from day one, was Florida, because Florida has lots of old people, lots of people who would be at risk. It's got a big population, and a lot of them are from New York. So, you know, they got that New York gene. And Florida's been very modest, and so I think that's really the weather. to tell you the truth, because they didn't really, DeSantos didn't close down the state early or anything else.
Well, no, so they had the beaches were open, everything was open.
And they're talking about playing baseball in Arizona, which is probably a smart move. There's no baseball game. Nothing can occur in New York City, my and watch New York go wild. What do you mean you got, what? You know, no football, no baseball, no basketball, no stickball. No, nothing.
No rugby. Well, you know, again, in the mainstream media, I think, and a lot of people there, like, it's New York, right? New York is, it's not
right.
Just
when it snows in New York, it's a storm. Otherwise, it just doesn't matter.
Right.
You can have 20 feet of snow in Buffalo,
Colorado.
And nobody cares.
That's right.
But in New York City, oh my God, they got a foot of snow.
New York or LA. And then you still look at LA, and they're like, okay, you see all these celebrities with their masks on at the farmer's market. I'm like, okay, I go back to, so if you can social distance, which they're not, by the way, at a farmer's market, why can't we social distance at some of these other things? Why can't we maybe figure out a way to, please God, get the kids back in school at least for a little bit?
Just give us.
We had yesterday.
We're begging you. The kids kind of going, okay, which of these are Romulus? And I'm going, Romulus. What's a Romulus again?
A Romulus is a Star Trek.
I got it. But I'm trying to go back to third grade. What's a Romulus?
Trapezoid. Well, it was worse. It was like, which of these quadrilaterals
is a parallelogram, but it's not a Romulus.
And I'm kind of like, you don't need to.
And there are eight of them, right? And you got to get them all right, or the computer goes, no. And this is a really cruel part. They had eight questions. And all these, like, there are eight quadrilaterals that you got to choose from and all that. If you get any question wrong twice, you go back to the beginning. And so, what did I get right the first time? Oh, my God, no.
So you're
endlessly tortured.
And me and the computer saying, okay, here's a picture of a trapezoid.
Yeah.
And Chuck would say something. Rep, you're like, I don't know.
Like, that same right,
so,
Dad.
So we're like, you don't need
but
to
you
know.
But you were
this.
So smart. That's
when
a Romulus.
Was the last time? Yeah. You needed to know what a Romulan was. It's
not a Romulan. So, yeah. But the Romulans, they're invading? The Romulans are invading?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I need to go back to school. That's all I'm telling you. My sister just sent me a text a little while ago. On this Friday, I'll share this is because we'll be doing our own cocktail hour pretty quick. So it was
pretty quick.
No, we haven't started. This woman on TikTok. So she had a bottle of wine, like a bowl, some ice, and a lemon and stuff, right? And so she said, you know, this is a perfect cocktail for now that we're in the pandemic. And she said, you start with 4 ounces of wine. And she poured it 1, 2, 3, 4. And she said, okay, that's your 4 ounces of wine. It was like a little glass. She said, then you take the ice and you shake it up. And then she said, then you throw it in a bowl because it can melt in case we run out of water in the pandemic, you know. And then she said, now you take the mixer. And she said, you just get rid of that altogether because we're in a pandemic. We aren't mixing with anything. And she said, then you pour in 2 more ounces. And she went, 1, 2. And she had like this giant glass of wine.
Yeah. Ready to go.
That's what we need.
That's
what we're talking to get us through this whole thing. The other one final thing, my sister is like, she works at a school and they're all bored now. So they're just sending, I think teachers are where everything starts today.
Right.
Another one, it was some picture. It had a bank, it was a shopping strip. It had bankruptcy, divorce, and then a giant liquor store. And she said,
just go to all three. Start the liquor store.
then
you go to the
back.
Bankruptcy and then hit the divorce. And then you're all set. You don't want to do it the wrong way. You don't want to do the bankruptcy, then the liquor store.
Yeah,
liquor store,
exactly. In case your credit
it's important. Yeah, it's important to do the right order.
You might want to do bankruptcy before the divorce, too. So,
bankruptcy, divorce, liquor store, bankruptcy, divorce.
There you go.
That's our final bit of information for all of you.
Chuck and Julie show.
From Chuck and Julie show. I want to thank again all the people who voted for me and CD7. It was an upset. And thank you, Ben.
Thank you,
and
Ben.
Everybody else. I mean, it was an upset it really was an upset because the Candyman and Dorman didn't like me and all that.
So. And we want to say thank you to ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. Be sure to check it out. And to everybody, I hope you have a great weekend. Happy Easter. We do know the Easter Bunny at our house is considered essential.
So that'll
be happening.
He'll be wearing a mask there.
Yeah, he'll be social distancing. Yeah. He comes in the middle of the night. So
will wear gloves for the chocolates.
All right, that'll do it for us, everybody. Thanks to the guys once again at BBS. They did a great job as always, and we will see you next time.
All right, everybody, take care and write to Facebook saying yes, they are diamond and silk, but still we want to hear them on again. Bye bye, everybody.